Welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hebert, and today we are starting into part six of the series we've been in on the Kingdom of God now for a few weeks. And before we start today's program, I just want to review quickly about some of what we talked about the last couple of weeks. We talked about the mystery of the kingdom. You know, Jesus came, he thought, and he talked, and he taught in terms of these two ages, this current age that we live in, and we also call it the current evil age, and the future age, or the coming age, or the new age that's going to come. As Isaiah talks about, there's going to be a new heavens, a new earth, and a new age that we enter into when the kingdom comes in its fullness. And that's how Jesus talked, and we talked about that last week. And Jesus come where the Jewish people expected that when the kingdom was would come, that it would come, there would be these cataclysmic events, and it would become together both at the same, both things happening at the same time, where there would be the blessings of the kingdom come, kingdom coming with the king who arrives and the Messiah. And also at the same time, there would be judgment on wickedness, and all evil would be vanquished, and then God's kingdom would reign forever and ever. So that's their expectation. But Jesus comes on the scene, as we talked, and he was doing the things of the blessing. He was bringing the blessings of the kingdom, where he was healing the blind. You know, the crippled were walking, the lame were walking, the lepers were being cleansed, the demons were being cast out, and the good news was being preached to the poor. And so he's bringing the blessings of the kingdom, but he was not bringing the judgment. And that there was, and with that, Jesus was bringing some new understanding to the kingdom of God. So here's the kingdom of God, there's a mystery here. And it discloses that for the first time, the kingdom is in stages, you know, where they expected that this age would end and the new age would begin. The world would now experience the future kingdom with power as promised. It would be in the future sometime. But the kingdom of God had come in Christ as the king and was at work right now in unexpected ways among men. See, the power of the kingdom had invaded the realm of Satan, this current evil age, and Satan had been bound and cast from his position of power, and his power was destroyed. And the blessings of the Messianic kingdom age are now available for those who embrace the kingdom of God right now. We may already enjoy the blessings resulting from this initial defeat of Satan. Yes, the kingdom is not just something of a promise in the future, but it's also something that has come near and is already present with us. And now today, we're going to look at how the kingdom, when it comes near to people, it brings a crisis of decision that's pressed upon those that encounter the kingdom. So let's read from Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verse 14 through 20 today, and then we'll talk about that. It says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he," meaning Jesus, "saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed Jesus." And we can often read what I just read here from Mark 1, 15 through 20, and we read it enough, and what we do is we don't realize the force, the action, the activity, the passion of what is transpiring in those moments when Jesus says, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel." Or believe the good news. It's something that meant to be shouted. It would have been, that word gospel would have been something when a herald would come around and saying, "Listen up, listen up." And he'd shout and get everybody's attention. And he said, "Listen to this good news." And here, this is what Jesus is doing. He's coming saying, "Here's the good news of God. The good news of God is the kingdom of God is at hand." It's a cataclysmic announcement at that moment. within, and with that, he's saying the kingdom has come near, and the good news is that God's kingdom with all its blessings and its benefit is right here. It's come up near to you right now. This is good news. Now, the kingdom here, like I've said before, is not a realm or a land or a people that's come near. It's not the church. It's God's right to rule, God's sovereign authority, the reign of God that establishes his will on earth as it is in heaven, had broken in and drawn near to them. With Jesus, we have this understanding that the powers of the age to come, the rule of God, the kingdom of God, with all his power, all his provision, all the presence of God of the coming age, have invaded this age right now. And the future has reached back into this age with every blessing and provision of that future age being available with every breakthrough into the kingdom in this current age. See, the kingdom was here with Adam and Eve in the very beginning, but it was lost in the fall when Adam and Eve sinned. After the fall, God made a promise in Genesis 3:15 to Adam and Eve that he would put enmity or war between the enemy, Satan, and the woman and her offspring. And that one that would come, he promised that there would be one that would come, an offspring of Eve, who would come and crush the head of the snake or Satan. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. See, Jesus had come to right that wrong that happened in the fall and to reclaim what the enemy stole. See, this is not just about some religious expression, oh, the kingdom of God is near. This is a cataclysmic announcement. Jesus is announcing he has come to take back what has been stolen. The kingdom of God is here. God's king is here. And I've come to take over. Now, the Jewish people of that day, they would have heard that announcement of Jesus. The kingdom of God is here. It's come near right now. And it's they would have been like, oh no, the end is here. Because they had this expectation that when the kingdom of God came, when the Messiah came and God's king came, that this would be a close of this age and judgment would come on all wickedness. And God's blessing would come and God's kingdom would rule forever and ever. So they're expecting judgment. They're expecting him to throw off the oppressing and occupying government of Rome. And here in the triumphal entry, as we watch Jesus come, he doesn't come riding a stallion. He comes riding a donkey. He comes as the humble king. And they're crying out at the same time. They're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, son of David. And that word Hosanna means, it means come save now. Come deliver us right now. So that's what they're expecting. And then there's the mystery, the now and the not yet. The Jewish people are crying out, Hosanna, waiting for their king. They're looking for their king to come and rule. And yes, let the king come. And he has come. He's come to rule his city. But it's not in a way that the Jewish people expected. And Jesus is coming, and there is that mystery, as I said again. The now and the not yet. It's going to come in its fullness at some point. But it's also come right now. And even the disciples, they were having trouble with this expectation too. They were expecting Jesus to come and rule with power and overthrow the ruling government there, the occupying government. Even James and John, and they come with their mother to Jesus and they're wanting to say, hey, can you let us sit on your left and your right when you come in power? See, they had this expectation that Jesus is the king. And he's announcing the king is here, the kingdom of God is at hand, it's here. And they're watching the blessings of the kingdom coming as they're seeing people healed, the good news preached. But they're not seeing the judgment, but they're still expecting it. Now back to Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 20, we read where Jesus makes this announcement, the kingdom, he shows up and the king says, the kingdom of God is at hand. And believe the good news. So that, but all Jesus did after this announcement, whether through his teaching, through his demonstrations, or illustrating through life, he was clarifying, he spoke of the kingdom in his parables, the taught of the kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God is like this. It's near. It's on you. It's near. The fact is, the future had broken through into the present age. The powers of the age to come had come in, and that heaven had now visited earth in Jesus and the kingdom, and has now made kingdom and the power of the coming age available right now. Even as he taught the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, he taught us how to pray. He said, let your kingdom come. So we can now ask for the kingdom. We're called to ask for the kingdom, just as the kingdom come, just as it is in heaven. Let it come right now. Let us get a taste of the power of the age to come. This is not a small request he's telling us to ask for. He's telling us to ask for the God's rule, God's kingdom rule, his reign, his right to rule, and his power of that coming age to come into this age and break in and change circumstances of earth to be like heaven. But we have to remember, even though it's on us, the kingdom, is on us, it's near us, it's upon us, the kingdom is not complete. It does not get fully consummated until Jesus returns a second time. And so in Mark 1:15, where Jesus comes and announces the kingdom's come near, Jesus is coming. He's declaring the kingdom is at hand. He is invading the enemy's turf. I'm talking about Satan, and not people, but Satan. And he's been entrenched for many years. He's an occupying force. And what Jesus is coming and doing, he's saying the kingdom is here. I'm coming to take over. And this occupying force, they're starting to scramble, knowing that the coming age is at hand. They understand it. Even as you read a little further from where I read in Mark chapter 1, in chapter 1, verse a little further on, from 21 through like 25, 26, where Jesus encounters a man that's oppressed by a demon, and the demon cries out in the synagogue, says, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, they saw who Jesus was. They expected and understood that Jesus was coming with the kingdom. He was coming to take over. He was coming to destroy them. 1 John 3:8 tells us Jesus himself came to destroy the works of the devil. It's like it's D-Day. Jesus has come. He's landed. And he brings about this kingdom clash, a kingdom clash, this power encounter is happening. So where the kingdom comes, we see he encounters the enemy, and the enemy is stirred up and is resisting. In Luke 11:21, Jesus tells this parable about when a strong man who's fully armed guards his own place, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor, which he has trusted, and divides his spoil. And so here Jesus is talking about entering the strong man. It's him. Jesus is entering the strong man's house. He's coming to this age, and he's bound him, and he's taken his goods, his spoils, which is the people who he's held captive. See, with the kingdom coming present, there is this crisis, the decision that is forced upon men and women. And the response to the kingdom must go deeper than mere words that we speak. It's not just going to be an intellectual, mental assent to what Jesus has to offer. And it's more about our reactions, our attitudes, and our responses are under this kingdom spotlight. How are we going to respond to the kingdom coming near to us? Back in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 20, where we read, Jesus, we see, doesn't just come in proclaiming the kingdom and by himself. What he does is he turns around, and Jesus goes along, and he calls people to follow him. And in that part of the scripture we read, he sees Simon and Andrew and John and James, and he calls to them, follow me. And they drop everything, and they follow him. Jesus doesn't say, join me in some social program or some new philosophy I want to try and advance. But he says, follow me in a discipleship of following me. That's what Jesus said. Not an idea, not a religion, not a principle, not some philosophy, but follow me. Say what I say. Do what I do. Say the words and do the works of the kingdom just like I'm doing. And so Jesus doesn't just come on his own. Jesus comes and he's gathering people And he's not just gathering people to his opinions, and he's not calling them to call people to follow, to be followers of his opinions, but to commit to him, to be disciples of him in his kingdom and his cause. See, Jesus goes around recruiting people. He goes on the hillside, the seaside. He's gathering followers to his purpose. The kingdom is here. It's coming. It's invading this age right at this moment. Yes, it's going to come in the future, but right now it's started. That cataclysmic event that will come to be consummated in the end has started right now. And if you step back and look at it in light of the Roman culture there and the Roman legions, the Roman generals, Jesus is just like the Roman generals as they're moving forward and they're gathering their forces by sending out these small invasion forces with all this good stuff, this good weaponry. And as they come into these towns, the people that they're invading, that they're coming against, they see this Roman army and they recognize that they only have these puny little sticks. And they say, I want to be on your side. And the legion, Roman legion, would then conscript these local militia and absorb them as they are invading these new areas. And Jesus here, this is model of Jesus. He comes along with the kingdom, with the capital K. It's a better kingdom. It's an overcoming kingdom. And he comes against every small K king and small K kingdom and destroying the devil. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's forgiving sin. He's delivering the oppressed. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21, I thought I read about the strong man or mentioned that. At the end of that, he says, he who is not with me is against me. So he in Jesus, what the people hear, the Jewish people, they hear the final summons. The final summons goes out, and the people, they know if this is the kingdom of God, they want to be on the right side. So Jesus comes recruiting, and he says, follow me. To John and James and Simon and Andrew. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Join with me, side with me. Say the words I say and do the works I do. And what did they do? They left their nets and they followed Jesus. This is the king and his rule is upon us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 is Luke's version of the story of Jesus calling Simon and Andrew, John and James, but he has some other things he adds to it because there's this miraculous catch of fish that Jesus does with Simon. And as a result, Simon sees what happens and he recognizes there's something about Jesus. And he's confronted. There's a crisis of decision. And Simon and Peter falls to his knees and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And Jesus says to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. See, they left behind all and followed Jesus. And what they did, they had to leave their doubts about Jesus, their doubts about themselves, their insecurities, their feelings of being inadequate, and about the future. And it's not just saying to them, when Jesus says, follow me, consider my thoughts or accept my claims or give some mental assent to who I am. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus says, forsake all or you cannot be my disciple. And what do these disciples do? They leave their boats and their business behind and they follow Jesus to embrace their true destiny and to realize who they really are and what God's called them to. And for us, we need to embrace our true destiny and realize who we are and understand that the maximum kingdom potential for our lives. And in this age, we must put Jesus first, his kingdom first, and we have to leave all behind, just as they did. Here's the crisis of decision when we encounter the kingdom. They had to make a decision. So shall everybody else that encounters the kingdom. See, we see that as Peter was making his decision, he was afraid. How do we know that? Well, Jesus says, don't be afraid. in Luke 5:10. Jesus did not say it for nothing. Peter must have been wrestling with fear. You may be wrestling with fear. And he says, don't be afraid. See, confronting our fears about him, our insecurities, our inadequacies about ourselves, he says, don't be afraid. He goes, we're going to do it together. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. See, when the kingdom comes, he calls us, come follow me. The reality is the kingdom has come, is broken in. It's going to come in its fullness, but right now it's here. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to join with Jesus? And to become all we're called to be in Christ, it means we are going to have to forsake some things in this life to follow him. That he must come before all other relationships. See, in Jesus' announcement, when he says the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe this good news. It's the final summons. It's the call to follow. It is not just accept his claims or to give mental assent to his opinions or what he thinks, but it's to embrace him as king, to yield to him as king, to his right to rule, and to join him in his cause of bringing the kingdom of God, the future kingdom, to this world, so men and women may experience the power and the blessings of the age to come right now. See, the future is upon us. It's nothing less than that. We're called to speak his words and to do his works. Becoming a disciple of Jesus is not just about forgiving our sins. Jesus comes announcing, we hear the good news of Jesus. Yes, the good news is that the kingdom's come. He's come to right the wrong that happened back in the garden, Adam and Eve. He's come to invade the enemy's territory, this age, and to free people from the bondage to Satan and sin and death. See, if the main goal of our faith is just having our sins forgiven and being kept safe from the devil, our faith expression becomes so inferior to what God's expectations are. Jesus didn't come just for that. Jesus came, gave his life to forgive us our sins, but then to pour in the Holy Spirit in us, and then to follow him, and just as he called them, Simon and Andrew, John and James, to be fishers of men and be with them. And to empower them to speak the words of the kingdom and do the works of the kingdom, he does the same for us. See, Jesus has in mind much more than just survival or escaping the problems or helping us become successful as the world standard has it. It's not about that. He purposes for us to overcome, to be a kingdom force that the power and the blessings of the coming age would flow through us and touch other people's lives. See, with every conversion, with every miracle, it's a plundering of hell, a destruction of the works of the devil, just as it says in 1 John 3:8, where Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he told the disciples after he rose from the dead, he says, even as I have been sent, so I'm sending you. And so the church is called to destroy the works of the devil and to free men and women from the clutches and the bondages of Satan and sin and death. See, every God encounter is an invasion of the Almighty into the desperate situations we live in every day. It's a kingdom invasion. This is meant to be our privilege. It's our joy. It's joining in his work, joining God in God's work. This is our call, speaking his words, doing his works, advancing his kingdom. Without a revelation of what God intends to do with and through his church, we cannot move in overcoming faith. See, the reality is the church was and is expected to be the vehicle of bringing the kingdom of God, to this world after Jesus departed. And we need our hearts and minds enlarged with a full revelation of what the kingdom expectation is. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 13, it reads, "Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God." Eventually, that would be something that there's an argument, a debate, a situation with the religious leaders and Jesus over doing that on the Sabbath. But Jesus here, seeing this picture, this woman is bent over, this spirit of infirmity. So it's like the church is bent over. It's been disabled because we don't have a full understanding. Our hearts and our minds aren't enlarged to get a full understanding of what it means for the kingdom to come. And the kingdom expectation to be working in and through us in this world today. And Jesus wants to free us from that spirit of infirmity, the thing that's got us bent over and disabled. And he comes and he lays hands on us, and today he's recruiting right now, calling out to you and me. He calls, "The kingdom of God has come near. Believe the good news and repent. Change, turn around and go a new way. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men." Here's the kingdom crisis of decision. This is an announcement for you and for me. Either listening online and here as I am speaking it, it's a word for all of us. That Jesus is calling us to more than just have our sins forgiven. He's calling us to follow him and to be fishers of men. And to be the vehicle through which God's kingdom, his words and his works, are expressed in this world. And as a result, men and women are brought into the kingdom of God. Maybe you've heard the good news of Jesus before, but now it's also just the good news of the not just of Jesus, but of the kingdom, God's rule breaking in. And maybe you're considering following Jesus. Today's the day. There's a crisis of decision pressed upon you. The kingdom has been brought near to you, and you can come to know Jesus Christ. What you need to do is say yes to Jesus and decide to follow him and put aside other things that have kept you from him and start to follow his ways. Maybe you're a believer and you've known of Christ. You've received him as your Lord and Savior, but have never heard this message about the kingdom and being recruited into being a part of this kingdom force that's called to be the vehicle for God's kingdom to come in this age through the church. Well, here, the crisis decision is upon you. It's time to make the decision. It's time to actually become a follower of Christ that allows for his kingdom to come through you and commit to being one of his disciples, to be just like him, speaking the words of the kingdom and doing the works of the kingdom that others might experience the blessings of the kingdom to come. If you want to listen to this message again, you can hear it at my website at letyourkingdomcome.com. That's letyourkingdomcome.com. Also, you can subscribe there to the podcast when you listen to it, and you would actually be notified every time a new one comes out. But until next week, I pray God's blessing on you, and may you not only experience the kingdom breaking into your life, but you may experience the kingdom coming through you to break into other people's lives. God bless.